Just honored to be with you today. I'm Pastor Will, and I want to welcome everybody that's watching online. We are so just excited that you are part of our service, and we love you. Can we give our online folks a hand this morning? Yes. And like I said, I'm absolutely honored to speak to you today, and I have a very, very simple message today. It's crazy simple. And I want to start off with asking you a question. Do you ever argue with God? Do you ever argue with God? Anybody? Four people argue with God. The rest of you guys, y'all can come on up and you can take the mic from me and y'all can just preach this sermon. But have you ever had an argument with God? Like a real argument with God? And I consistently have arguments with God. I ask God, why on earth would you pick me to preach this sermon today? Like, God, there's 7.5 billion people in your Rolodex, and you chose me to speak to these people today. And I can honestly come up with hundreds of reasons why I feel that someone else should be speaking to you today. In fact, I argued with God on a number of those. And here's the reason why. I have flaws. I have imperfections. You see, I have issues. Y'all, my issues have issues. I'm telling you, I when I think about it, it absolutely blows my mind that God would use me. It really, really does. And I was having a conversation with my beautiful wife, Tabitha, and she's not here today. And she's normally the one that I get cues from during a sermon to, like, settle down or stop stuttering or stop running back and forth. I don't have her today, so I can't tell you what's going to happen. I would jump off the stage or do things, but I have a torn meniscus, so I'm going to stay as close to this pulpit as possible. And if I do fall over, it might be the spirit, but most likely my leg gave out on me as well. So just giving you a heads up there. So we had this conversation, and in this conversation, I said, babe, what are some of my flaws or imperfections? And she doesn't believe that any of these things are, but these are just things that I complain to her about myself. And I said, what are some of those things? And she quickly began to rattle off this long list of things, and it just kept going. I was like, okay, I just wanted to know a few. Oh, and they just kept coming out and rolling out. And I was like, okay, hold up, babe. And so she doesn't believe any of these. She thinks I'm amazing. And, you know, so she doesn't believe with these. But these are some of the things that we listed that I feel that I deal with. I am not a good speaker. I stutter a lot. I am very nervous when I speak in front of people. You people scare me. Oh, see, she said I scare her. But you scare me. You do. You're not scary looking, but you scare me. I am terrified right now. My heart is beating a million miles an hour, and my palms are sweaty, and I do special exercises just to not be so nervous when I get up here, but you people scare me. I'm shy. I am shy. I try really hard to be outgoing. It takes a lot for me to be outgoing. I'm introverted, which means that talking to people wears me out. And I'm a pastor, and talking to people wears me out? What's up with that, God? And so I usually have a signal with my wife if I'm talking to somebody too long, and I promise you it'd be none of y'all. None of y'all would do this too, but if I've been talking to somebody for a long time and I'm like, I'm running out of batteries, I got this little sign here. It's right. This is ready, right? Ready to go. Ready. So I'll be doing this and, you know, just real quietly down by my leg, and usually my wife will come and save me. And sometimes she doesn't see it, so I start like, you know, hey, Tab, come over here. I'm introverted. I didn't grow up in church. I was born and raised a heathen, literally a heathen. I didn't know anything about God. I've got a picture that shows you what I used to look like. Look at that big pirate earring. I thought it was so tough. I weighed like 92 pounds and would try to fight everybody. I was a punk. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know all the preachers' names. You know, I know Pastor Robin and I know T.D. Jakes. But you start listing off, and Pastor Renee. I know Pastor Renee. But you start listing off all these other preachers. I don't know who they are. Are they like insurance salesmen? I don't know who that is. I don't know. I didn't grow up in church. And I struggle with ADD. I really have a hard time concentrating. And you know, these are nice lights. These are really nice lights. But I do. I struggle with that. I feel like I'm not smart enough. And literally everything can stress me out. Every little thing can stress me out. I can make the simplest thing stress me out. I can worry about things that I shouldn't even need to worry about. Everything seems to stress me out. I'm high strung. Sometimes I'm very short tempered. And worst of all, is I can't grow a beard. Tim, Pastor Tim, our worship leader, he's up here singing like Bruce Springsteen. The lights are catching that beard. It's kind of flowing in the wind. And, you know, he's just, oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, why? You know, why do you got to have such a beard? That's just amazing. I know the Bible says that thou shalt not covet another man's beard. It says that somewhere. I'm not sure where, but here's the thing. I know all of my flaws. I know every single one of my flaws because I deal with them every day. I wake up with them, and they're there. They're still there. And the truth is, we all know our flaws. We all know our issues and our imperfections. And you know who really, really knows about your imperfections? God. God knows. You know who else knows? Your spouse or your closest friends. They know. They know you're messed up. They live with you. How many of you had a fight on the way to church this morning? Nobody. One person. Some of you are lying. Some of you are lying. But you can look good coming into church. You know, you're looking all nice and hallelujah. How are you today? How are you today? And you were just screaming at your children. You were in the car yelling at your wife. Come on, we need to get to church. You're yelling. And then you come in. Hey, everybody, how are y'all? Life is good. Life is good. You know, we do. We all have issues, we all have flaws, we all have imperfections, we all have setbacks. But I am here to tell you today that in spite of them all, God uses messed up people. God uses messed up people like you and like me. He uses messed up people. 7 years ago, I came on as an associate pastor at Promised Land. Pastor Robin went to this website called discountpreacher.com, and he found me. I'm kidding. That's not a website. It may be a website. Maybe somebody needs to buy that domain name and start a discount preacher web. I'm sorry. And so my first year on staff was like coming on to the dream team. I'm talking, y'all remember the 1992 basketball, the men's basketball team It had like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan. It had Christian Laettner. Why did some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about? But this was the team of this. These were superstars. These were giants. They led most of the games during that Olympics by 40 points. They were superstars. They were amazing. And so I felt like I was coming in to this giant. I was amongst giants. I felt clumsy. I felt like, oh my goodness, these are like mega preachers. These are people that have it all together. I felt so clumsy. I was so intimidated. I kept thinking that they were going to like finally look at me and go, why did we hire you? Why are you here? I mean, who remembers T-Bear? Pastor T-Bear. Man, Pastor T-Bear. Everybody in the world loves Pastor T-Bear. He could walk into a school and like 500 kids would follow him around. This guy was just the most lovable person. Everybody loved Pastor T-Bear. Who remembers Pastor Harry? Yeah, Pastor Harry is an amazing preacher. But he was like, he looked like a male model. I know Greek. Pastor Harry was, I mean, he just, if you know what movie that was, you need to pray. Y'all don't know. But Pastor Lacey, she was a genius. Pastor Lacey, amazing, amazing. She would talk, and she would use words that I'd never heard in my entire life. She would begin to talk, and I would just make this weird face because I just didn't understand what she was saying. She was so smart. She knew the word of God so well. She would say, Will, the ontological argument of God in the antediluvian period. And I'm like, I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. I mean, she was a genius. She was a genius. Genius. And our senior pastor, Pastor Robin. Yeah, give him a hand. He was a preaching machine. He's not paying me to say this, by the way. But he's the most steady person I've ever met in my life. I don't know if I've ever seen him upset. He's just so steady. And he's like no one I've ever met. Sometimes I would question, is he actually human? Is he human? Because like in the first 15 minutes of his day, he can write a book, plan out a year's worth of sermons, write an autobiography and do all of this in the first 15 minutes of his day. First 15 minutes of his day. So these guys are amazing. Our pastors and staff here are amazing. They are amazing. Why don't we give it up for them? They are fantastic. They're fantastic. But here is something that they all have in common. Get ready for this. They are messed up. They are not perfect. They got issues. Their issues got issues. They all have flaws. They all have imperfection. They all deal with something. They argue with God sometimes, and sometimes they tell God no. I was checking to see if they were going to turn my mic off. Still good to go, Mr. Ken? But here's what's beautiful about it. God uses them mightily to reach his people. God speaks through them. Amen. You can clap for them. God uses them mightily. God uses them in spite of themselves. And here's what I find amazing. That even when I try to convince God that I'm not the right guy for the job, he wants to use me. Even when I tell him no. Moses, Moses is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I love Moses. I mean, when you think of Moses, you see Moses with that staff parting the Red Sea. You hear him saying, "Let my people go." Ha! Yeah, I don't know if he spoke like that. But you just got, I mean, he's got his tablets up on the mountain. He's holding those tablets. His long, luscious beard is flowing in the wind. I mean, Moses was like a hero. I mean, we think of Moses as a giant. A giant. But guess what? In the beginning, Moses was a mess. When God called him, he argued with God. He had so many excuses. He told God no. Exodus 4 and 10, it says, "But Moses argued with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go." Everyone say, "God says go." And he says, "I will be with you as you speak. I will instruct you in what to say." But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else, anyone else. Just send somebody else." God said, "Go." Moses said, "No." God said, "Oh? Come again?" And it said, then the Lord became angry with Moses. He said, "All right." He said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. You talk to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with you both as you speak. And I will instruct you both in what to say." Arguing with God. Excuses. We tell God sometimes, "God, I'm not ready. God, you have never come across a mess like me. God, I'm an anomaly. God, I know you've dealt with people's issues, but Lord, I'm spectacular when it comes to issues." And sometimes we go to God and we try to convince God over and over and over again that he's got the wrong guy. And we tell God that we're not good enough. We're not powerful enough. Our prayers aren't like Pastor Robin's prayers. You know, you're not listening to me like you listen to him. We make all of these excuses to God. And the truth is, it's pride. You see, pride has two fronts. One is the front where you think that you're God's gift to the world. Hello. God bless you. Aren't you glad you know me? I'm a blessing, aren't I not? That's pride. I mean, that you think too much of yourself. The sneaky part of pride is when you think too little of yourself. When you belittle the creation of God. When you put yourself down, when you say that you can't do it, you can't do it, you're basically saying, God, that your creation isn't good enough. And you're telling God that he can't fix you. The same God that hung the stars, galaxies, that spoke life into existence. And we tell God no, we make excuses. God, I'm not ready to serve in Sunday school. God, I'm not there yet. Let me get my life together first. I don't know enough. I don't even know how to pray. I'm still dealing with major issues in my life. I'm just not ready. Or I work too much. And the list goes on and on and on. And so many times God says go, and we say No. You know what our excuses sound like to God? They sound like this. Blah, 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 blah. But Lord, blah, 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 blah. I created you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I know how many hairs are on your head. I know how many hairs are on your head. But God knows everything about you. I'm sorry, brother. It was just too tempting. It was so tempting. Tim, God bless you. I know how many hairs are on your head. I don't know how many hairs you have in that beard, though. So let me tell you why God uses imperfect people. Because that's all he has to pick from. That really is all he has to pick from. There's really not a very long list of perfect people. There's Pastor Harry, maybe. No, there really is only, there's only one. Jesus. 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 He's the only perfect one. The only perfect one. If you're still not convinced, if you still feel like God couldn't possibly use you, and if you still tell God no over and over again, I want to share a list of messed up people that God uses in the Bible. And this list is, I've used this before, I've heard others use this list, but it is so good, I'm just going to do it again. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. This one gets me a little bit. Isaiah preached naked. That would be so distracting. So distracting. Isaiah, I love what you're saying. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their... Okay, but man, put some clothes on. I want to listen, but I can't. Sorry. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too short. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? All of them were messed up. Many of them told God, no, you got the wrong guy. Let me ask a question here. What if God ironed out all of our issues and all of our imperfection? It just made us close to perfect. You know, if that had happened with Moses, and Moses was this fantastic orator. I mean, his speeches just would change everybody that he spoke to. What if he was just, he had like James Earl Jones' voice? Let my people go, ha! Let them go, Pharaoh. That's an awful James Earl Jones impersonation. But what if he did that? The story would have been about Moses. Moses would be the hero of that story. Moses was in the story, but it wasn't his story. It was God's story. Moses was the messenger, but God was the message. God was the message. We're part of it. We're part of the story. but it's his story. And let me say this, we have testimonies, and our testimonies are incredibly powerful. The reason why our testimonies are powerful, and your testimony is what God has done for you in your life. That testimony is powerful because it explains what God has done for you. People can refute the Bible. If you start quoting scriptures to people, they can go, I don't believe that, I don't believe that. But when you say, this is what God has done for me, it shows. They can argue with whatever they want, but when they see God working in your life, they see you change, they see you acting differently, they see you just loving God and loving people that you didn't love before, you can't argue against that. So your testimony is powerful because it glorifies God. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Let me stop on that word for a second. Masterpiece. That word means poem. God, you're God's poem. God wrote you. He created you. He hemmed you together in your mother's womb. You are a poem, a masterpiece. You're not junk. God, you're God's masterpiece. And he knows your flaws. He knows your imperfections. He knows you're messed up. And he still wants to use you. He still wants to use you. Did you know that God could use you right where you are? Right where you are. Let me explain. I got a quick story. I got 8 minutes left. But when I was very young, about the age of that picture you saw on the screen, Tabitha, who I was dating at the time, invited me to go to youth camp. And like I said, I was born and raised heathen. So, I mean, I was in the early stages of my relationship with Jesus. God was still working on me. He had a long way to go. And so I went to youth camp, and there was all these guys playing basketball, and I started playing basketball, and there's one guy that I really, really didn't like. I just didn't like him, and he didn't like me. And so we would, like, flagrantly foul each other and throw elbows. When he would go up for a layup, I would take his legs out. I mean, we did not like each other. We almost got into a fight on the court. We had to be separated on the court. And I'm sure Tabitha was so proud of her boyfriend that she brought to youth camp that got in a fight or almost got in a fight. So that night, we had this amazing church service. There was... It was like the preacher was speaking just to me. And I remember that I just started, I raised my hand. I just started, tears start coming down my face. And I'm just thanking God for everything he's done in my life. And I'm just praying and I'm just worshiping God. And then God puts this thought in my head, go pray for the guy you almost got in a fight with. And I said, God, that can't be you. Absolutely not you. So God, I'm just going to continue here praying. He said it again. I was like, God, you're going to create a big fight in this sanctuary because I don't want to pray for him. I want to lay my hands on him another way. We didn't like each other. And so I'm like, God, you got the wrong guy. There's many more people that are more qualified than me to go pray for him. And he wouldn't leave me alone. He kept telling me to go, and I kept saying no. And then finally, I said, okay, God. And I turned around, and I looked, and he was in the very back of the room. He was just standing there. And so I start walking towards him, you know. I start walking towards him, and he was kind of like, all right. So I think he thought I was ready to go. So I walk all the way up to him. And I said, hold on. God told me to pray for you. And then his face changed. his whole countenance changed. And I laid a hand on his chest and I started praying with him. And he started sobbing. God was doing something amazing in his life. And God used the most unqualified person in the room, the most unlikely person in the room, the most messed up. I guarantee you, I was probably the most messed up in that room. And God used me. Let me tell you this. God doesn't want to leave you in your sin. God doesn't want to leave you in your mess. You see, the grace of God, it is the unearned favor of God. God's grace and mercy and love draws you. God doesn't want to leave you in some of your messes. But God wants you to be open and let his mercy, let his grace in, and he will trade you. He will trade his perfection for your mess. God, I don't want you to get me wrong. Like, you can just stay in your mess and God's going to keep using you. God does not want to leave you in your mess. He loves you so much that he wants to draw you deeper and closer. That's what grace is. And that's why God can use you in spite of yourself right where you are. The enemy is going to tell you that you're damaged goods, that you're not qualified, that you're too messed up, that you've made 1, 2, 3, 4 too many mistakes. Who would listen to you anyways? You're a failure. Let me just tell you this. Don't limit God. Don't limit the blood of Jesus. Don't limit the grace of God. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. And nothing that you have done or ever will do will make God nervous. Will make God go, oh, I've not seen anything like that before. Prize God. He's covered it. He's purchased it. So what are you waiting for? Are you waiting to be perfect before God uses you? And if you are, you're going to be waiting a long, long, long time. Stop saying no when God says go. In a few weeks, this building on Easter Sunday is going to be full of people like never before. There's going to be thousands of people that walk into this building, and they're going to hear the amazing, wonderful, anointed word of God. And it can change their life forever. But God is asking some of you to step up. God is asking some of you to come out from behind your excuses and to be used by him. Will you say no when God says go? God is going to do something amazing with you. God has a plan for you. God knows the beginning and the ending of your days. Trust that God is bigger than your mess. Trust that God is bigger than your complicated situation. It's so complicated. It's not complicated to God. In fact, you're not complicated to God. Just trust him. Give him everything you have. Let's pray. God, we honor you today. God, thank you for your blood, for your mercy, for your amazing grace. God, I thank you that you would use me. God, I'm thankful, God, that you would use anybody in this room if they would just say yes to you. God, there are schools that need someone to step up and say, I'll go. I'll be a voice. I'll be a light. There's a workplace right now that needs somebody to step up and say, I'll be a light here. This is a dark place. I'll be a light. Yes, God. God has been talking to you. God has been asking you. And you have been arguing with him. Trust him. Let him in. And say yes. Here I am. Lord, send me. God, we give you all of the honor, all of the praise, and we just give you thanks today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can we give God some praise in the house today?
What a great message. And I believe that God is activating people here today. You've been dormant for a while, but now the time has come. God is saying it's time to go. So in the seat back in front of you is one of these cards. We call it a connection card. I would love if you feel like that God is telling you to go. And you, some of you know where that is, but you need help to get there. Your church family wants to help you. So even if it's not on this location, if it's somewhere else, maybe it's prison, ministry, nursing home, hospital, workplace, or wherever, we want to help you, and we can do that. So if you'll give us your information here on the connection card part, we will connect with you this week and start helping you with next steps on how to go where God's wanting you to go. And then on this other side is a side for prayer if you have a specific prayer need. But here's another thing. I want to make this a dual purpose card. If you feel like there's something inside of you that's saying, you know what, I feel like I should lead a small group, or I feel like I should help with the children's ministry or something. As he said, Easter's coming up. We need all hands on deck on Easter. We're going to have 5 services on Easter weekend, Saturday at 5 and then Sunday at 8, 9:30, 11, and 12:30. And so that means we need a lot of people opening doors and driving golf carts. We're going to have 3 golf carts that day instead of 1. And so just on every front, we need more people. If you say, you know what, I could help Easter Sunday, just parking cars or shaking hands or open doors, write that on this little part right here, and we will connect with you on how to do that. So please fill that out. If you want to text the word next to the number on the screen, it's the same process, and we'll help you with that as well. I want to give you a chance to give financially to God this morning and this week. We want to give you that chance every single week because it's such a privilege to do so. And every single amount that comes in is making a huge difference. This past Friday, just a couple days ago, we opened up our doors to local youth pastors and student workers and volunteers. And right here in this room on Friday, we had just about 50 workers, youth pastors and youth workers here. And we got to invest in them all day long. And we had worship, and this is one of the pastors that spoke into their lives. But we got to host that here and bring in these speakers and feed them lunch and all kind of stuff. And all we asked for them was $1. That was their admission fee, basically. Just say, I want in on this. But the only way we can do stuff like that is because you guys are giving as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you for sowing financially into Promised Land. It's making a difference in this generation. So would you bow your heads with me and let's pray for our gifts this week. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just pray a blessing over every amount that comes in this week, God, whether it's today in person or if it's online or a text or whatever it is. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray you're going to be with every giver, Lord, that has the courage to give. And you're gonna provide every cent that's needed, both here at the church and in our homes. And you're gonna multiply and bless, Lord, what like your word says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. While they pass those plates, let me tell you about one very important announcement, and that is about what I'll call an encounter weekend. It's a three-day event coming up at the end of this month, March. We call it Disciple Weekend. And it is something that we want every single person that is a part of Promised Land to go through at least one time. And it will change your mind and your heart and center it around the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an immersion into the story of God where you can see yourself and you can see God, and it just changes your perspective. And so we call it Disciple Weekend because it's such a great way to get the engine going in your discipleship. And so if you're brand new, this will catch you up on the story of God, and that might take you years if you didn't have an opportunity like this. And then for those of you that have been around for a while, it's good for you because it just stirs up the heart. Sign up if you want to come, because these spots will be filled. All right, God bless you. You are dismissed. Go home, take a nap, rest.